The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Niners won. Did anybody miss that part? They won the football game, but we're frustrated. Why? What is it? What is it for each of you? For me, I just keep going back to the word underachieving. Nothing easy.
Zaza.
Nothing easy.
There it is.
But, you know, I don't understand why everything the Niners have done this year seems to be like they're limping their way to the finish line every single time. But anyway, before we go to the phones, I want to tell you about this. In honor of Klay Thompson, coming back to Chase Center tomorrow, we're giving away tickets to the game. And we'll do that today, and then a Klay Warriors jersey tomorrow. And so you need to listen at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. Now, only one of those is left, 4 p.m. So be listening at 4 p.m. And we're also putting on the Klay Carnival at Thrive City tomorrow. We're going to be broadcasting there, Steiny and Goose. So no matter how, whenever you get off work, if you got tickets, come see us in the plaza tomorrow before the game against the Mavericks. So stay locked in for all the details. Find out how you can win starting at 4 o'clock today for your chance to win your way in to tomorrow's game. All right, let's go to the phones. How about Jonathan in the city? First up here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Jonathan. What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just, making some rice. Hey, speaking of rice, hey, Nick, maybe you should start eating some carbs, bro, because all that Wagyu beef has done you no good. Man, I've been watching the game for, like, maybe 3 decades plus. This Sunday, I've seen probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, man. Him getting stiff-armed by a quarterback for, like, 10 seconds like he was a little toddler. Man, what is that? You know, pull him down, bro. What's all that muscle on you? Is this for show? I mean, dude, eat some carb and get stronger. Because, man, a premier pass rusher like yourself shouldn't be getting embarrassed on TV by a quarterback named Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's not the size of the late Steve McNair, you know?
No, he's not. He's
no,
not.
No, or Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that was a super random comment,
but
it's true.
Thank Enjoy you, the Jonathan. Rice. Don't overcook it.
No, overcook
or
rice
undercook
is yeah, rice has to be exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly
better under
right.
than over. I'd rather have it be bit tough than like super like mushy.
No, rice cannot be crunchy.
No.
We're not doing that.
No.
But anyway, I don't know, like... The word embarrassing has already come up a bunch today.
Right.
There's no such thing as an embarrassing win.
I don't get it.
Which part?
The fact that was embarrassing. You went on the road and beat a team that is a playoff contending team.
Well, but specifically the Bosa play where he's got two hands on Baker.
Right.
And Baker just takes him for what looked like a 12-yard walk.
Right.
And then and by the way, don't forget the backdrop. The game's over if he tackles him.
Exactly.
It's over. So I think as a fan, that's part of the emotion here. When you see your superstar pass rusher get two hands on the quarterback on fourth down at the end of the... That's it. The game's over.
Game's over.
I stood up. Oh, the game was over. And then they're just like, no, 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 let's go over here.
Yep.
And then, no, 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 let's keep going. Let's go over here. And first down? I don't know, man. I know Nick was super questionable in this game. I'm going to give like a little shred of maybe, dude, you just weren't right. I don't know exactly what he is feeling in this game, but outside of his one sack, I really thought Nick Bosa got absolutely owned in this game.
I thought he had a pressure early in the game, which produced a sack for, I don't know if Sam O got it or if somebody else was credited with the sack, but he was in on that. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend Nick Bosa for the entirety of the show. I'm not saying that he had a great game, but he was more impactful than that. And we all want to look at the one play where he should have gotten Baker to the ground and he didn't. And then Baker made a great play. And that happens in football, especially when you're trying to be, as a pass rusher, you're trying to figure out how to tackle a guy the right way. It's not as easy as just, you know, grab him and throw him to the ground, because that might be a penalty. So you have to try to, you know, grab him and bring him down a certain way. And in this play, he didn't. And you didn't think that Baker was going to do what he did. And then he made that throw, and it's like, oh, my God.
I mean that play is Baker Mayfield in a nutshell.
Totally.
So I've come to your side of the table with regard to this. Like, Baker, he is kind of a gnat. He will do things like that. He's faster than you think he is. He's tougher than you think he is. He's got a better arm than you think he's got. Like, Baker Mayfield's a good player. I know the history. I know all the punchlines. Baker's a good player. Dot, dot, dot. Nick Bosa with two hands on a quarterback, that man needs to fall to the ground.
For sure.
He needs to fall to the ground.
And he's had a lot of that this year, and I don't know if it's where he needs to put down the Wagyu steak and, you know, eat some more carbs, but there's been a number of plays over the last few weeks where he's gotten hands on people. Maybe he needs one of those old, like, grip things where you know, work on your grip strength, right?
Which it's hard to tell because, by the way, Bucky is number 7, and Rashad is number 1.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
Right?
Yep.
So they look almost like, I can't tell them apart. And it's kind of funny, too, because I got Bucky on a fantasy team or two, and my son Jude has Rashad White on his fantasy team. So literally we're like competing before the ball's even been snapped. Like the guy, like if you're watching a Bucks game, those guys will come out and it'll be like, it's White. And they'll be like, no, it's Bucky. And you're like, I can't tell. So I don't even know. I think it was Bucky. I don't know what drive. But Nick Bosa's got him in the backfield. And Bucky just went, get off of me, Nick. No problem. And takes off up the middle of the field. So listen, whether Nick was hurt and whether you want to give Nick a pass, this, that, or the other, there were multiple very uncharacteristic missed tackles by Nick Bosa in this football game. And he's going up against a really good tackle who then got hurt,
yep,
left, and a former 49er castoff came in and stonewalled him too.
Justin School, yeah.
Hard to watch.
It's hard to watch, but I still look at a defense that allowed only 20 points, and 7 of those came when the special teams could not catch the football on a punt.
Yeah.
So really, and that was a 21-yard drive. So for me, it really feels more like 13 points, and the offense should have scored 35 or more. They could have put up 40.
Yeah.
So that game would never have been in doubt, and the Nick Bosa performance never would have been in question if the kicker could make a kick or if the offense could actually score a touchdown in the red zone.
I mean, they did score some touchdowns. So I never...
1 for 3 in the zone.
Yeah, but field goals happen. Like, I do that. We got to be careful with every time they go inside the 20, that means automatically they're supposed to score a touchdown. Like, field goals happen. They do. I'm not asking for 100%. You're not wrong. The percentage needs to be higher. But the offense did put the ball in the end zone. Two beautiful touchdown passes from Brock Purdy. Great if you can score a touchdown without having to go to the red zone. That's even better if they're long. Let's go to Shark in San Leandro. Hi, Shark. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Man, appreciate y'all taking my call. I just wanted to give y'all a little pushback on how I felt about the Niner gang.
Okay.
So, quick question. I hear y'all criticism about Bosa's game. I'm more of a basketball dude, man. Go Warriors. We've been playing crazy, by the way, right now.
Yeah.
But,
How about that? Sir. That road trip was something, okay? But we'll get back to that.
So my question for y'all is, with a player like Nick Bosa, defensive end, he did make that bonehead play at the end there that had us all shaking in our boots. But at the end of the day, the stat lines don't always seem to show how good a player is or how he's playing. I was wondering if you guys thought it was his effort, or is it just the lack of stats, the lack of tackles and sacks and things like that? Because you got to keep in mind that he is Nick Bosa, so they're game planning for this guy. They send in doubles and all kind of things for him, and I don't think I ever watched a play where I felt like he just didn't try. I don't know.
Yeah, so, Shark, here's how I don't know, Dibs, how you'd answer this. Thank you for the call. I would answer that it's neither. I'm not questioning Nick's effort at all, and I'm also not hanging my hat only on, as he likes to call them, sackaroonies. I'm not doing that either. I would much more like to look at pressures, and he statistically only had three of them in the game. And then I also use my eye test, which is, again, not questioning his effort, is questioning his production. He got stopped a lot by a backup tackle who used to play for the 49ers. Nick might have been hurt. He was questionable until the last second yesterday, so maybe he's not playing at his best. But I also dismiss the idea that they're game planning for him, they're double teaming him. Right, that's what happens to elite players. And I don't watch any of the other elite pass rushers that we talk about just get stonewalled for the majority of a game because the other team is aware that they're good. I've watched a lot of Steelers games this year. You should see what TJ Watt gets, and you should see what he's able to do with it. And Nick has done it in a lot of games this year. Yesterday was not one of them.
Yeah, and I think the overall defense from a pressure standpoint was not great yesterday either. And so, you know, TJ Watt maybe gets a little bit more help from his teammates. I don't watch every snap of the Steelers like I do watch of the Niners. And I look at a Niner pass rush, and you don't get a lot of help from other people. And as a team, from a pressure standpoint, they didn't have a lot. And I'm looking at QB hits. There were two hits on the quarterback, Nick Bosa and Malik Collins, and that's it. And you had two sacks. So you had two sacks and two QB hits, and that tells me that pressure-wise, you were mostly non-existent. And they don't ever blitz very often, and so you rush four, and they block you with five. And when you block with five and you rush with four, Bosa's probably going to get either chipped or doubled or both. And so it is harder on him.
I look at the way the Bucs played offensively, not just in this one, but basically since Mike Evans and Chris Godwin went out. And poor Baker's got Kate Otten, and that's really it. It's really it. And that factors into the way that I'm looking at this particular defensive effort. You can say 13 or 20 points, that's all. That's really all that should happen. He just does not have a lot at his disposal. Again, the backs are really good, and they receive the ball out of the backfield. But the Tampa Bay is completely incapable of a chunk play right now. They're totally incapable of getting 25 to 30 yards down the field. So if you take that off of the table, to me, you watch a team that can only, the only way they can score is to go pick, 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 all the way down the field. Just like they did against Kansas City, to tie that game and go to overtime 7 days ago on Monday night. They are capable of that, but that's it. So to me, it's not even a team that's capable of 25 to 30 points in a football game. They take too much time to do what they're doing. And so I would expect when you're on 14 days rest and they're on six and they lose their superstar tackle in the middle of the game, yeah, my bar for your defense is very high. It's very high, and the 49ers did not hit it.
Yeah, for me, they did hit it because they allowed only 116 yards passing. To your point, they had no real receivers, and I'm looking at the numbers, and numbers are numbers unless they're your numbers.
That's right. But I don't know if these are my numbers because I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, what I'm going to say is that 9 of the 18 completions were to Irving and Rashad White.
Sure.
So of the other 9, you had 5 to Kate Otten, which means you had 4 passes caught by wide receivers.
Uh-huh.
Shepard had 1, Miller had 1, Jarrett had 2. So defensively, that wasn't the problem. In the ground game, Irving had 73 yards, White had 31, they didn't do much on the ground either. So the defense, they only allowed like 215 yards total, and you gave up the 20 points in part because your special teams gave them a short field.
No, listen, I'm less offended by the defense than I am by the special teams, but those kinds of numbers that you're talking about leave out all of the penalties, for instance, that they committed in key moments, especially on that last drive. So
there was four penalties on that drive.
That doesn't show up in the box score, and that is absolutely part of my assessment of the way they played yesterday. Dale in Walnut Creek is next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Dale, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing?
Could not be better, Dale.
Okay, good. Listen, I think I'm calling in to the same show that I was listening to 10 minutes ago. And 10 minutes ago, you guys were complaining about the defense and saying, like, you know, the defense this year, they've allowed people back in games. And
yes,
what's going on? And why is that? And I think the answer to the question, if you just get down on your knees, or, you know, bend way over us, you'll find the answer. You'll find the answer.
Dale, I'm not sure where we're going. Where are we going here, Dale?
The defense got, the answer to your question got thrown under the bus last year by Kyle Shanahan. Sorensen is now the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Wilkes is not, and that's not all of it, but I believe that's a large part of it. And the second thing, what you guys have been talking about just for the last few minutes, I think you might agree with me. Nick Bosa has not performed up to what we expected him to all season long. He's given the effort, but he doesn't have any moves. He's kind of like a bull rusher. So I know that they're double teaming him and stuff, but they're double teaming T.J. Watt. They're double teaming all the other, you know, great guys, and they're performing better. I think we got to be honest and say Nick's not doing it. But that's the only small part of it. Bigger part of it, I think, is the answer lies under the bus.
So you think that this defense would be performing at a much higher level if Steve Wilks were still the coordinator?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I look at the progression, the progress that the defense made last year, from the time that he started, and then they criticized the hell out of them, and by the end of the season, they were doing well. They gave up 20 points to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
You must have missed that. You must have missed the Lions game. But Dale, thank you very much. The Steve Wilks thing is forever going to be difficult for me, because when people talk about it, they go, "Oh, he was a scapegoat. He was thrown under the bus. He was blamed for everything." And I always go, "God, like, that's not my perception of what happened." I'm not blaming Steve Wilks or Kyle Shanahan or whatever. It's a team that went to the Super Bowl and was one play away from being champions. I don't think anybody needs to be blamed for anything. I felt all year long that something in that building, those guys felt like wasn't fitting. It wasn't jiving with one another. And so they made a move. And I know people, because of the timing of it and because of the finish of the season, people blame. They go, "Oh, Kyle Shanahan scapegoating Steve Wilks." You don't have to fire people because you lost the Super Bowl. You went to the Super Bowl. That's usually when people get extensions.
Yeah, yeah.
So there didn't need to be a scapegoat. I think all year, starting in Minnesota, they felt like things weren't fitting. And it's not fair to compare this year's group to last year's group, because last year's group had Dre Greenlaw on the team. This year's group doesn't.
Well, this year's group has a bunch of great rookies who are playing better than some of the guys that they had last year. And Devondre Campbell, again, second week in a row, maybe third week in a row. He was really good, and he's getting better. And I do think that it takes time for any new coordinator with any team. And I know that Nick Sorensen was there last year, but he's now a coordinator for the first time in his career. It takes time to grow into it and for the defense to get comfortable with him as the coordinator. And I did not think that yesterday the defense was the issue. And I know that Tampa Bay's offense is not anything to write home to mom about. But for me, the reason why the game was close yesterday was not the defense. It was the offense, and it was the special teams.
Oh, I don't think it was the offense either. It was the special teams. I mean, if you want to say the issue, special teams, that's the issue. They dropped the ball on the punt. They missed all of their field goals or most of them. I mean, like, that's... If you just fix that alone, you win that game by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
So I'm not saying the defense is the issue. I'm just telling you that what I see, and this is true for offense and defense alike, what I see is a group that's not reaching their potential. They're not as good as they should be. And they shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly at the wrong time.
Yeah, that was unfortunate yesterday on that drive. And then you do have to point out, or you don't have to, but I will, that they did hold Tampa to a field goal after they committed 4 penalties on one drive. It came down to game time. If Tampa scores a touchdown there, you're in trouble. You need a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, you're going
to
lose.
And you held them out. You held them to 3. So that, for me, is a part of that. And I looked at it again this morning as I was watching it back, and you had defensive holding, face mask, personal foul, hands to the face, 4 of 6 plays were penalties.
And all of that came after your superstar pass rusher had 2 hands on the quarterback for 4 seconds in a game-ending play.
Maybe not quite that long, but he got held off.
It was at least 3.
Yeah.
And they converted. So none of those penalties happen if you're, and I'm sorry to do this, but your $34 million guy,
you can do it,
brings a human being who's half of his size to the ground when he's got both hands on him for a 3 count. None of those things even happen because the game's over. They don't get a field goal.
First and goal at the 9.
Niners win 20-17.
First and goal at the 9, and you held them out.
Yeah.
And so.
But that didn't happen if you just tackle the guy back at the 40-yard line.
Well, none of it matters if your field goal kicker can make a kick.
Also true.
Or if your red zone offense can actually score. Or if your quarterback can find somebody who's open on the opening drive of the game where Ricky Pearsall is wide open and Brock Purdy is coming out cold again.
I mean,
talk about that.
You're not going to put yesterday on Brock Purdy, who threw for almost 400 yards.
No, but when we're talking about things that didn't go right,
Brock Purdy in the first half was shaky. Agreed.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.